as I mentioned, there's been one or two rude remarks about my volume, and apparently I was probably born to be a market trader. Rude, frankly. Well, my next guest firmly believes that whatever your job or profession, you should run a market stall at least one day a week. And she's obtained funding to run a market trader masterclass to help you do just that. Keely Flint is a market trader herself, and her ambition is to see 6,000 stalls start up over the next 3 years. That, Keely, is quite an ambition. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, good morning.
I mean, when you hear that, you put your thumbs up when you heard me say it. Is that achievable?
I think it really is achievable, yes, because based on market traders, being a market trader, it can be so fluid. So it could be that they do one day a week. It could be that they do a couple of evenings. It could be that they do a speciality market, which is every 3 months. So, you know, to do a market stall, it's quite, you know, easy to put it into your life. So it could be that you're full-time or just doing it casually.
And actually, you know, this time of year, it's weird, isn't it? Because even if you're not particularly one of those people who frequents markets,
yes,
this time of year, there's Dickensian markets. We'll be finding out about one of those a little bit later on. There's Victorian markets. There's a German market. There's every kind of market, yeah, you could possibly imagine seems to just suddenly pop up during the festive period.
It does,
it?
Yeah.
Where are they the rest of the year?
Yeah, well, they move around. I mean, the European market, for one, they tend to go around all of England, so they're moving around. But I think what happens at Christmas is they particularly seem to, just like you say, just turn up and jump out at you.
Mm.
And I think
we love them when they come.
Yeah. And I think what's lovely about them is it just brings so many exciting and unique things, and I think that's what people really love about it. It's not in the high street, you know, so they can go and have a look around and really find unique things for probably really good value as well.
Mm.
So I think that's what the attraction is.
So before we get on to this masterclass,
yes,
idea of yours, you've been a market trader how long?
Over 20 years.
And where did it all start for you?
Well, it all started when I lost my job. I had a bad knee operation, and then I became a bit sort of whimsical of, like, you know, I was in a designer shop beforehand and doing really well there, and then it was like, oh no, I'm rubbish, I've lost my job, I can't do anything. And it was my ex-partner at the time said, Keely, you live in a market town, you know, you love people, why on earth don't you start up a market stall, have a go at Chesterfield perhaps on the second-hand market. So I started doing car boot sales and vintage markets, antique markets, and then eventually went on to doing new markets.
I mean, this is part of your ambition and your focus, is the fact that, and I mean, we're sitting in what is officially a market town,
yes,
right now.
Yes.
I know it's officially a city, but
yes,
let's be fair, Derby is a very big market town,
yes,
in many people's eyes. And yet we don't really focus on the market here at all. And it's not, Derby's not alone. There's plenty of towns that were built up around that market,
yeah,
and then that's all kind of fallen by the wayside. Mm. Only recently, Belper, a market town,
yeah,
won best high street for a market town. You know, so it seems to me that you're probably on the right bandwagon now, because it's,
yes,
almost like we all want to return to those old market towns.
You're quite right. I think we're definitely going backwards, and I think, you know, that's not a bad thing in a lot of ways, because, you know, when you buy something on a stall, it's a social experience, you know, and social media is very important, but we also need to, you know, keep touch of, you know, when you buy something from somebody, the reactions there, they're grateful of you buying it, and they're happy that you, the time that they've invested in choosing those garments or items or whatever it may be, and they've got it really early, you hand over that cash, and it's value to that person and their lives, and of course value to that town, because they've come along to be part of that town and create you kind of a high street that moves around. So you're only going to see them those certain days. So it's a very unique experience as a market, and I think that's why I love them so much.
There is the downside, though, to that, and that example that you've given.
Yes.
Because if you go along to one of these fabulous markets and you see something very individual, you know you're not going to get it in the same old high street shops that, frankly, we're all getting a bit bored of.
Yes.
So, brilliant.
Yeah.
All the plus signs are there. But then you think, actually, I'm buying it for somebody else. If it's a fashion item, for example.
Yeah.
What if it doesn't fit them? What if it's not right? What if it doesn't work? What if I need to return it? There's always that hesitation, I think, that a lot of people might have, that if it's not right, you can't take it back.
Yeah. I think for my market business, because I sell ladies' fashion 8s to 30s, and I say to people, look, if it's not right, bring it back. You know, you can have your money back. It's not a problem. You can swap it for something else. And because obviously I'm selling really nice things, and, you know, if you return it to me, you know, and you're buying a top that should be, say, £40, and you're buying it for, say, £15, bring it back, because there's people out there that have got families that are struggling to find those bargains, and you bringing it back may have saved that person 25 quid, 15 quid buying elsewhere. So, of course, return it. And, of course, that gives people a sense of confidence and friendship within buying from you, that actually they don't hesitate, because it becomes a given that, if I go to Keighley, I can have a little bit of a chat, I can buy something fantastic, something that nobody else has got. It's really good value, and if there's any problems, I bought it for Auntie Jane or Susan, I can bring it back and there's just not a problem.
So actually, I suppose the advice there would be, don't be nervous of buying off a market stall.
Yeah.
Just have that conversation of, what happens if it's not
right? Yes, that's right, yeah.
And it is, I mean, that's the key, isn't it, with Mark? That's why the experience, you should embrace the experience.
Yes.
Because you do actually get the conversation.
Yes.
That when you walk into many, I'm not saying all, but many high street shops,
yes,
it's almost like you don't even exist with a lot of the sales staff.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, the customer service that I give is exceptional, and it's because I've been working in fashion for 25 years, and of course it's my industry, but I see the value in giving good customer service, because I think people need to feel value today, and people are looking for value, not just in products, but in an experience alone. So when you come to the stall, it's a case of, you've had that 5 minutes, you've had that chat, and it's lovely, and they just love it.
We'll chat more with Keighley Flint in a moment. We'll talk about this Market Trader Masterclass, and we'll also find out why it is she thinks, no matter what job or profession you're in, you should run a market stall. Well, I've had a go at least once, but at least one day a week is what she's suggesting. Would you fancy it? Ever had a go yourself? If you're a market trader listening right now, give me a call, 01332 616161. Tams, be young, be foolish, be happy. On BBC Radio Derby, Sally Pepper with you till 1 o'clock. We are going to be, travelling to Draycott, actually, because today preparations really get underway for the Dickensian Christmas market, and the light switch on is on tonight. So we'll be heading over to Draycott between now and midday. In the meantime, though, funnily enough, obviously got the same theme with talking about markets, we're talking to Keighley Flint. Now, she has obtained funding to run a Market Trader Masterclass, so we'll find out exactly what that is all about. But she does believe, whatever your job or profession, you should run a market stall at least one day a week. Now, for starters, I'm thinking, where would I find the time, Keighley? So it's probably easier said than done. But the theory behind it is what then? What would I gain from running a market stall one day a week?
Well, you'd gain extra income, for one.
That's a good starting point. I'm in.
It's a good social experience, number two. And obviously, you know, while you're there, you can fill your shop, fill your, you know, your cupboards up with all the local things that you've bought at a really good price.
You see, now this might be the downside for me, Keely, because I'm thinking I do like my bargains,
yeah,
and I might end up actually spending more than I'm earning if I'm going to go and look at all the other stores.
That's all right.
Is it?
Yeah, just give them your wages. You make the money on the stall, and then just give it all away.
So it's all about supporting each other.
It
here.
Is. Yes.
Well, I mean, I suppose
absolutely.
There is a point there. I tell you what, just put your headphones on for a moment, Keely.
Yeah.
You've got a pair just next to you.
Okay.
Because we've got a caller. Diane's on the line. Hello, Diane.
Hello.
Hello. Now, you know all about being a market trader, I believe.
Oh, I'm afraid I do.
Don't say it like that.
We want positivity.
Sorry?
We want energy and positivity. You love it, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. The only problem is that the bones won't take it anymore, I'm afraid. Like it or not, the bones just won't. I'm semi-retired now. I have excellent staff that help me out. My chiropractor keeps me going. And very soon I'll be getting on a boat or a plane or something to go to Spain because it's the only way I can survive now. Oh. Because I've had so many years lugging fabric about, the body won't take it. I wish the best luck in the world to this lady that's taken up this initiative.
Oh.
She will need all the luck in the world. She really will. Because these days there are so many alternatives. The competition out there is rampant. It's tragic for the older people because the older people are used to markets. They're used to the banter, as she calls it. They're used to talking to people who want to talk to them, who are there. Some of the traders, the modern traders, sit on the backside. They don't want to talk to anybody. They're not interested. That's not what a market trader is being all about. In the market world, first you sell yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't sell yourself, you do not sell your goods. The competition out there from the supermarkets, from the major shops, from the internet, from everything, that the proper traders, and there's so many tiers of market trading. The proper traders who earn a living from it, I mean a full living from it, as my husband and myself have done over the years, we've been totally self-sufficient. The competition from the internet is incredible. And the proper traders are finding now that they can earn more by having a storeroom and dealing on the internet and not having to go out onto a cold market in this country, not having to stay in this country when trade is down because of the weather and whatever. And the weather dictates so much with market trading. Abroad as well, they cherish their market traders because the towns would be dead without them. In France, in Spain, where we drive through,
they are
incredible.
Yeah.
The standard of presentation,
the
standard of presentation and the goods are exceptional.
They are.
As they are in Germany.
So we could learn a lot from the near continent, couldn't we?
We have an awful lot to learn, an awful lot to learn.
Yeah.
Anybody that's seen these traders in Spain and in France, the trouble that they go to present their goods and themselves and everything else is second to none. It's a different world.
Diane, I'm just keen to know as well, you were, I mean, I know you say you're semi-retired now, but you were a market trader for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
How long?
40 years.
40 years. So I know we're hearing now that improvements need to be made. It's not the easiest job in the world, but clearly 40 years kind of speaks for itself, Diane. You must have loved those 40 years.
I could write a book, darling, and one day I will.
You should.
one of the young men that used to help my husband and myself unload our vehicle on a Sunday morning when we used to drive to Bristol, when it was the only Sunday market in the country besides Petticoat Lane.
Oh, really?
Was called Colin Jackson.
Ah!
The athlete, would you believe?
Crikey.
This young man used to cycle to earn money across the bridge from Welsh Wales into Bristol, help us unload the vehicle, and then go on to other traders and help them unload their vehicles to earn money because at that time he was living with his grandparents.
How incredible! Yeah.
So many jobs can come from doing markets. I mean, all the helpers, you know, the pack-up boys in the morning and at the end of the night. It amazes me to see so many youngsters standing around doing nothing. And, you know, they could be getting that job before they start and at the end of the day and contributing to the family home, you know, because it's quite
right
well paid.
There. Absolutely it's, right there. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, a young man from Loughborough, which is still an excellent outdoor market,
yes.
And they're very few and far between.
Yeah, it's a good
one. Young man at Loughborough who was so quiet and shy on the stall next door but one to my husband, because he only used to stand one day a week. His grandfather used to sell slippers, and he used to go and help his grandfather set his store out, unload his vehicle, pack away, and then he'd sit with him, and he was too shy to speak to customers and all the rest of it. And because of my husband and his sense of humour and his nature and this, that and the other, The grandfather asked Colin if he would give him a job because he knew what had happened to the previous helpers who had gone on to be super-duper salespeople in London. I won't bore you with the details. This young man blossomed so much, at the end of the day, he made the front page of the Leicester Mercury because he learned so much. He passed every O level and A level that was thrown at him. He earned enough to buy his own car. He earned whatever, and then he went on to university. And he changed overnight. And because of the change in this young man and the confidence that he gained, the parents, one, the lady was a teacher, and the husband was in the local factories at the time, or I forget exactly where. But they said, you've done so much for him. Would you help us with the daughter? And my husband at that time, I said to him, no, just a minute, Colin. We can't do this because I won't be helping you anymore. And you cannot have a young lady working on the store.
There's only so much you can do, isn't there?
Because, well, at the end of the day, because it's a physical thing, and because we were getting so politically correct with two elder men and this young lady, it wouldn't look good, would it?
No.
So,
Diane, you know. But I think, actually, with all this, as you say, you need to write a book, but just with the snapshot of stories that you've regaled us with, thank you for joining in this morning. It's been really great to hear
from you. May I just say one thing to you?
Yeah.
The facility that you have in Derby, the indoor facility that you have in Derby, in fact, two indoor facilities in Derby.
Mm.
These are the best facilities in Europe.
Really?
Unfortunately, yeah, by far. These are, with the potential for the best facilities, if they have the right management.
Uh-huh.
At the moment, they don't.
Thank you,
Diane. I can't say any more about it.
We'll take your point on board then,
Diane.
Great to hear from you. Cheers. Bye-bye. If you want to join in, of course, you're more than welcome to do that. I think Diane's partly done your job for you, though, Keely.
She has.
Quite well, as well.
She's done a very good job. She's said some really good things, but I think she's touched on a few things that, you know, I'd like to sort of talk about. The work that goes into the market trading, which is why she feels, you know, she's her bones are letting her down and everything. One of the things that I want to put into the markets in terms of the local authorities taking it on board is the bins that operate in certain places. It's very seldom. I think there's only certain locations that have them. But if you have one of these bins on wheels, there's tons of redundant shops at the moment that are just sat doing nothing. And basically, if market traders can have extra stock in these lock-up shops overnight, it enables, for an example, somebody like myself who has it in my car, or in my van, if I'm wanting to go out that night to a venue, it allows me to put my stock in that bin and just drive off to where I want to go to. Often, one of my mentees I was working with when I was doing the first pitch with National Market Traders Federation, she has to go up about 5 flights of stairs to a flat, and all her stuff's in her front lounge. Mm. And I just feel that these bins, it's not just about helping you at the end of the day when you're exhausted, just wheeling it off into this bin and then going home. But also in terms of, you know, if you want to go from one stall to two stall to three stalls, you're more likely to do that if you can put your stuff in the bins rather than having your local car that you use for the family, you know, school runs and shopping, etc.
But I think, I mean, obviously she talked about the physical side. I'm just aware that we're kind of running out of time here. So I want to get on to the market trader masterclass you're wanting to run.
Yes.
I mean, she's picked out some very good points here. This isn't just about... You can have a long-term career like Diane, 40 years as a market trader, and that's great. And although her bones are failing her now, as she said, she's obviously enjoyed and had some amazing experiences with it. But she's kind of highlighted what this can get out of someone.
Yeah.
A confidence thing.
Yeah.
Moving on to another career. This could be the starting block for... opening many avenues out, and I guess that's your point
it is. I mean, if you're on 0 hours at the moment, if you're on part-time hours, if you're sort of in between jobs and you're just not happy in your job, this could be, you know, for the new year, a new challenge and a new future. And, you know, she's quite right. It's a very good social thing to be doing. And, you know, it's quite a nice experience to be chatting to your customers, but not just the customers, the other stall holders as well. So you're outdoors, it's fresh air. It really is priceless. I can see why she did 40 years, because I've done a good 20 and gone from being indoors in a shop and coming back out to the market. So I don't think it ever really leaves you, the market. It's like a bug, you know, it's sort of, you know, once it's in you, you just can't seem to let it go, because I suppose the people sort of ignite you all the time. It's just fabulous. Even on rainy days, you just take, you know, the fun out of it and just have a laugh. And that's the day where you kind of do, let's all have a cake and buy each other things and have a laugh.
And
that's
and
what
supporting.
We do.
And again, we're coming back to the idea of supporting each other.
It is, yeah.
Which you probably don't ever get that sense of, or very rarely do, when you're stuck in an individual shop. And it's very rare that you meet up with other shop owners, etc. Whereas if you were next door to somebody on a market stall, well, it'd be rude not to have a conversation with them, wouldn't it, really?
It is. And it's changing now. Everybody's becoming... I think because the trades over the years, you know, being in the recession, it's affected everybody's. People's attitudes have changed now. And I think people really sort of warm to each other because they know how hard each other works.
Yes.
So it's like, have you been over to that stall? It's fantastic. Have you been down there? And there's a great community. Mm. And that's what I think is important and just lovely about markets. So
if people want to sign up for the Market Trader Masterclass, in a nutshell, what are they going to do? What are they going to get from it?
Yeah.
What are they going to be doing? And how do they sign up?
Yeah, okay. Well, to book now and secure your place, you can visit my website, which is www.howtostartamarketstall.com. You can email me, keely@howtostartamarketstall.com. You can call me on my mobile, which is 07446 054 223, or you can book on Eventbrite through our website, which is www.howtostartamarketstall.eventbrite.co.uk. But we'll go through everything on the Market Trader Masterclass. We'll discuss developing your idea and deciding what to sell. We'll talk about choosing your products, so thinking what you're really passionate about. We'll talk about different markets and choosing your market, and what you will need to get started on your market. We'll talk about sourcing your suppliers and wholesalers. And this is a really important one, because you have to look around, really, the market that you're going to think about standing in. And you really need to be aware of the line you're going into, what other people around different markets geographically to where you're standing are selling those garments for, or those items, because you really need to make sure that whatever they're selling them at, once you've found out what the cost is, that you're happy with the margin, that you're happy with that profit that product line is going to offer you. So helping you set up your stall, how to make it look outstanding, how to get it looking stunning, pricing, selling, and obviously customer services, and engaging with them and keeping them coming back times and times again, managing your finances, basically all your questions will be answered. So, you know, come along, it will be fantastic.
And it's free.
It's totally free. You'll have a lovely lunch done by a local person called Eleanor, who's baking as we speak all the different cakes for us for the day. You can come from Derby, anybody that's interested in becoming a market trader, come and see us in Bolsover, come and see how lovely the castle is as well while you're there. And hopefully throughout the year, next year, when we do evening markets and Sunday markets and vintage and all the different things, perhaps you can work, you know, Monday to Friday in Derby, and perhaps pencil is in for, you know, a speciality market or an evening market or a Sunday market. We would love to see you all, and I hope you consider becoming a market trader. It's a fantastic job. I've travelled the world through doing the markets, which I'm very fortunate to be in, and to be mortgage free. So it can be good if you're passionate, and so take that step and come along and see what we can do for you.
You certainly are passionate.
I am.
That's for sure. You've sold it brilliantly.
Fantastic.
This free day, this free day course that you've just described to us, it's in Bolsover.
Yes.
When's the day?
It is on Thursday of next week. It's the 11th of December. It's 9:30 till 4:30, and we break for lunch at 12:30.
Brilliant. We wish you all the best with it.
Thank you so much.
I'm assuming this is the hopefully the start of many. And you might well travel around to different locations to do that.
I'd absolutely love to. I particularly want to, where there are historical market towns, but there isn't a market. Hopefully, you know, put some investment there and say, you know, there's 12 stores, there's your community, there's your market. So, yes, onwards and upwards from now on.
Because the market is the heart of the town, isn't it?
It really is. And I think the interesting thing you said earlier about anybody could become a market trader. I mean, if you look at somebody who's a solicitor who does wills, or probate, for an example, what better way to advertise yourself away from the corporate office? You know, have your leaflets.
Out of your stuffy suit.
Yeah, out of your stuffy suit, in your jeans and your jumper, and person to person, in a conversation, as an individual, telling them about your business. You know, really, any business should have this in their business model.
And actually making you far more approachable.
Absolutely.
And far less scary.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What a great example.
Yeah.
Keely, lovely to
Thank
meet
you. Thank you so much, Sally.
And all the best with the day, which is a week on Thursday.
It is. Yes. So we still have places left. So come on, people of Derby, come on. Thank you.
So, Keely, thank you.
Bye. BBC Radio Derby.